On Mondays, we read from your emails. Many of you wrote in during our segment on new words and phrases that gained popularity in 2003, some of you with original contributions. From Mike Downs of Minneapolis, I've been using a word I created and wondering if others have thought of it and used it. It is e-dress, as in send me your e-dress and I'll email you. Sammy Woodruff came up with a new word, golden doodle, a new kind of dog, a mix of golden retriever and standard poodle. Another word is labradoodle, a mix of Labrador retriever and standard poodle. Terrific disposition, typically low to non-shedding and hypoallergenic. And from Pam Gearhart of Woolstock, Iowa, a cautionary note about expanding the lexicon. We need to learn to use the words we have correctly, she writes, before we go around inventing new ones. Our show on the growth of information on the Internet brought another cautionary note from listener Mark Brown in Tucson, Arizona. I want to share a quote from the writer T.S. Eliot, obviously writing before the age of the World Wide Web. His lament is all the more poignant today. Where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information? And finally, during our segment on people who collect vinyl recordings, one caller asserted that, sentiment aside, he likes vinyl over CDs because the sound is better, fuller to be exact. That comment prompted this email of protest from Jane, a record producer in Portland, Oregon. While I admit it's pretty cool that you can drag a needle through a plastic groove and get music, I have to draw the line at those collectors who claim that vinyl sounds better. I suppose it's a matter of opinion, but vinyl records don't have near the dynamic range or frequency range of CDs. Never to let a dispute go unsettled, we called NPR's cultural trends correspondent Rick Carr, and he joins us now from NPR's New York Bureau. Thanks for being with us, Rick.
You're quite welcome, Lynn.
Rick, we're going to give a little example of what it is we're talking about. First of all, it's the difference between this. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And this. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. That was U2, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And the question, Rick, is, can you tell the difference?
Which one was Live and which one was Memorex? No, I can't tell the difference, actually. You know, Jane, the record producer who wrote in from Portland, is right to some extent. I mean, both sides in this dispute are right. It's very difficult to tell the difference between the two today. Now, 20 years ago, when the CD first came out, it was pretty evident when you were listening to a CD as opposed to a vinyl LP because, frankly, people in the music industry just weren't as good at making CDs sound good, but they're a lot better at it now.
I was actually surprised at how much those two recordings did sound the same, because when I think of vinyl, I tend to think of the old vinyl with the scratchy sound. That's my idea of a vinyl recording, but they're not all like that, obviously.
No, they're not. If you have a new needle on your turntable and a brand new piece of vinyl or a piece of vinyl that you've taken very good care of and your home stereo is calibrated properly, there is something to the argument that the vinyl collectors make that vinyl can sound better, largely because I think it's what we're accustomed to. In the same way that when movies went from black and white to color, everybody said, color, it looks fake. But, you know, we ultimately got used to it. Prior to that, though, we were accustomed to black and white being the way movies look. LPs are the way most of us grew up listening to music.
Is this an issue that people really do care a lot about, do you think?
Yeah, in the audiophile community, there's a lot of dispute about this. A lot of audiophiles still think that CDs sound lousy, still prefer the sound of LP records. And of course, vinyl collectors much prefer the sound of LP records. But I think for most of us, the idea of having a smaller disc that we can throw in the car, that we can throw in the back seat when we're done with it and not have to worry about it getting scratched up, is far more valuable than the slightly better sound quality that we get if we have a perfect stereo. And of course, most of us don't have perfect stereos.
All right, well, thanks for being with us today, Rick.
You're quite welcome, Lynn.
NPR's Rick Carr spoke with us from the New York Bureau. By the way, if you're still wondering, the first clip we played was from the Joshua Tree LP. The second was from the CD, and I couldn't tell the difference either. Talk of the Nation is produced by Susan Lund, Setsuko Sato, Justine Kennan, and Megan Williams, with help from Stacey Foxwell and Joel Riddle. Chad Campbell directs the program. Brendan Banizik is our production assistant. Molly Messick is the Talk of the Nation intern. Our technical director, Kevin Waite, he gets help from Vince Muse, Josh Rogerson, Chris Nelson, and Kevin Langley. Ellen Silva is our senior editor. Sue Goodwin, our senior producer. Executive producer of Talk of the Nation is Leith Bishop. In Washington, I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.